Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, we're going to read verses 18 to 25 responsively. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. I'll read the first verse, we'll all read the second verse together, and so on. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for these verses and the truths that are contained therein. I pray, Father, you give us all ears to hear. I pray, Father, we would all just be ministered to through the word this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, verse 18 makes it clear that the Son of Mary came into the world unlike any other child. He was born of an earthly mother without the need of an earthly father, and it was this boy who fulfilled the prophecy that is found in Isaiah 7:14, which tells us, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. This baby existed before Mary or anyone in the genealogy of Joseph that is mentioned in the beginning of this chapter. He is eternal God, and though he was the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, from the tribe of Judah, out of the family of David, he as God has always been and will forever be. He is the I Am, the ever-present one. While there are those who would snatch the crown of deity from him, the Bible emphatically tells us just who this virgin-born son truly is. We are told this in 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, meaning there's no argument about it, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. It is written in John 1, verse 1, about the one born of Mary. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is a name for Mary's firstborn son, for he reveals God, and he tells us what God is like. And the reason he does so is because he is God. Thomas, one of the 12 apostles, upon seeing the resurrected Savior, proclaimed to him, My Lord and my God. And to those who mistakenly claim that the one who left heaven to come to earth and robed himself in human flesh never said he was God, need to explain just who it is that forgives sins. Who it was that predicted his death and had the power to come forth alive from the grave. Who was it that had power over demons and had angels at the ready to obey his every command? And just who would be so bold as to say to Philip in the Passover chamber, He that hath seen me has seen the Father. How can one ignore his I Am statements that he made in the Gospel of John when he said, I am the door, I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life. How about when he said, I and my Father are one? And those who heard him knew exactly what he meant. For they went about to stone him for blasphemy by that statement that he made, and he made himself God. In our text verses, we see three names assigned to Mary's baby boy. He is called Jesus, which means Savior. Christ means he's the anointed one or the Messiah. He is Jesus the Messiah. Jesus is his human name. Christ is his official title. And Emmanuel describes him just as he is, God with us. Now I want to focus on two phrases. One in verse 2, which reads, Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Then after his birth, Joseph in verse 25 called his name Jesus. Now I'm going to title my sermon this morning, His Name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Now I realize that in Isaiah 9:6, it is written that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And every one of those names deserves consideration, for he is wonderful in his person. He was wonderful in his preaching. He was wonderful in his power. And he was wonderful in his purpose as he came to seek and to save that which was lost. As counselor, he is confident in what he has to say. And there is no one who has ever lived on this earth that gives better advice for living, whether it's about marriage, child rearing, finances, friendship, prayer, discipleship, joy, or a host of other topics that concern us. He is the counselor we ought to heed. As mighty God, he overcomes difficulties that we are confronted with. He spoke all of creation into being in just 10 commands and in just 6 literal 24-hour periods of time. He has power over diseases as he cleansed lepers, some of dropsy, others with fever, some with paralysis, others with withered hands. They were restored. Bowed backs were made straight. Blood flows were stopped. Blind eyes were given sight. Deaf ears were made to hear. Dumb tongues were loosened and given speech. The lame were able to walk. He calmed storms as winds ceased to blow, and raging waves lay still at the sound of his voice. Demons fled at his command. Death gave way to life as he spoke the words, Telephi Kumai, our damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Or as when he went to Lazarus' grave and called his name and told him to come forth. Or as a young man, the widow of Nain's son, and he said unto him, I say unto thee, arise. He alone conquered death, hell, and the grave. He is omnipotent, the Lord which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. As the everlasting Father, he is the benefactor of everything that exists, as he provides and protects for his own. As one who is everlasting, he ever lives to bless us with fatherly love that will never cease. As Prince of Peace, he brought serenity to a man possessed with a legion of demons. He brought calm to the troubled hearts of the disciples when they were in the upper room. He gave peace to multitudes whose guilt tormented their conscience. Those who believe in him have been given peace with God and ought to experience the peace of God. His peace isn't just confined to individuals, for the day is coming when he'll establish a kingdom of peace right here on earth, and it'll be worldwide in its scope. Yes, there'll be a time when war will be no more. When one reads the Bible, they will find two things. First, the impossibility of a warless world by the efforts of man. And secondly, the certainty of a warless world by the coming of the Prince of Peace, who will rule and reign from the throne of his father David. During that time, according to Isaiah 2:4, men will beat their swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The prophet Isaiah further described this time in Isaiah 11, verse 9 and 10, where he writes this: "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." There can be no peace in an individual's life until they invite the Prince of Peace into the heart and allow him to reign. And there will be no peace in this world until the Prince of Peace is in charge and righteousness covers the earth. While Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 6, gives five names for the child born and the son that was given. He gives five names to Mary's boys. And there are names and titles of nearly every letter of our alphabet given to the one who was virgin born. Yet it could be said of him, "He's God's perfect alphabet, art thou. Of truth are all and the crown. Eternal word to whom we bow. The Lord of glory and renown. The beginning and end, O wondrous sight. The first and last of love and light. The Alpha and Omega, true. This and all that is between, thou dost make all things new. And wise is the one whose name we lean on." Oh, he is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beloved of the Father, the captain of our salvation, the desire of all nations, the elect of Jehovah, the faithful and true witness. He is the gift of God, the head of the church, the image of God, the just one, the King of glory, the Lamb for sinners slain, the mediator between God and men, the Nazarene, the only begotten, the Passover sacrifice for us, the one who quickens, the Redeemer who purchased us with his own blood, the servant who suffered in our stead, the true vine that we are to abide in, the one who is unchangeable, the very Christ, the Word made flesh, the exalted Lord, Yahweh, and Zion's holy King. 'Tis true, he bears these names and so many more. And though many are meaningful and descriptive of just who he is, I find that his name Jesus to be the dearest name I know, and one that becomes more lovely over the passing of time. The first syllable, J-E, tells us of his eternal Godhead, of his mighty power and condescending love. The second syllable, sus, meaning help. And that second syllable assures us of pardon, peace, deliverance from sin and hell. So the name of Jesus means the salvation of God, our God the Savior. This was our Lord's common name in the gospel. He is called Jesus about 170 times in Matthew. In Mark, around 100 times. In Luke, about 100 times. And in the Gospel of John, 250 times. The constant use of the name Jesus testifies to the reverence those men had for the precious name of Jesus, for it spoke of who and what he is. Jesus is Earth's most famous name. It is spoken in prayer, in praise, by more tongues than any other man on earth. Both the living and the dying breathe this name as their one supreme hope, one who encourages them and one who have they put their trust in. Every language has known it. People from every kindred and nation and tribe have fell in love with it. And every age since it was given to the babe of Bethlehem has found it to be the sweetest name ever uttered. So it is any wonder that we sing, "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go." The inspired history of the name of Jesus embraces the fulfillment of all prophecy concerning the redemption of sinful man. There are not a whole lot of verses in the written voice of God that tells us about the story of the one who was born of a virgin. But the history of over 2,000 years is required to tell the miracles of redemption of those who called upon that name. The many, many answers of prayer for those who uttered his name. And the dedication of those whose soul lived as not to bring shame to that name of Jesus. The Bible record reveals that Jesus was the name given by the angel of the Lord to Joseph prior to his birth. As our text verse tells us, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." It was a divine command from heaven itself that Joseph call Mary's baby Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. Oh, to be one of his people. Oh, to be cleansed from all of our unrighteousness. But for that to happen, we must heed Peter's word when at Pentecost he told the crowd that had gathered, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." There is no salvation, no forgiveness of sins until a sinner calls on Jesus to save them. The word forgive has a twofold meaning. It means to cover. It means to send away or letting go. It is a word that describes a sinner being separated from their sin and from their guilt. There is a salvation for the convicted sinner when they call upon the one whose name is Jesus. He left heaven, came to earth, and he came to seek and to save that which was lost. His name, when called on, will remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. They'll be cast behind God's back, buried in the deepest sea, blotted out, or should I say, blooded out, forgotten by God, and no longer held against you. You'll be declared righteous. The record of your sin will be wiped clean. You become a child of God. You'll be accepted in the Beloved. You'll have a home in heaven. Your name will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll be a joint heir with Jesus. You'll be indwelt and sealed by the Holy Spirit. For when you call upon the name of Jesus to save you, he will lift you up out of that miry pit. He'll clean you up. He'll stand you up on solid ground and tune you up by putting a new song in your heart. Those who call on him whose name is Jesus are never the same. For they have experienced the new birth. They have gone from an ain't to a saint. They're a new creature in Christ, now fit to spend eternity in the new Jerusalem. Who hasn't called on that name, and which believer has not had the thought There is a name of wondrous sweetness, resplendent with immortal fame. I glory in its power to save. It is my Savior's name. There is no name of rarer beauty that I would want to bring it shame. Nay, 'tis my joy, not my duty, to magnify my Savior's name. This name, all other names transcending, remains forever the same. Someday, with angels' voices blending, I'll sing the praises of his name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He took all my sin away. In a sense, the name Jesus, given to him prior to his birth, is really his only name. All others are simply titles. He would fulfill the promise of God to save his people from their sin. Since his name means the salvation of God, or God the Savior, it was a name sung by the angelic host at his birth. You know, when he was born, that sky show was such a thing that the world has never seen. You know, we're having a 250th anniversary, and we're supposed to have the biggest fireworks in the history of the world. But they did not measure up, and will not, to the incredible display the shepherds witnessed that night of the birth of Jesus. What a display by the armies of heaven that accompanied the coming of him into the world, whose name is Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14, we are told, "And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And it shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Prior to his birth, an angel told Joseph to call Mary's boy's name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sin. Then at his birth, angels from heaven sang of the Savior named Jesus. You know, he lived on this earth for 33 and a half years in the days of his flesh, and man called him Jesus. But at the end of that earthly sojourn, it was the name Jesus that was nailed in derision on a Roman cross over the head of the dying Son of God. And we are told this in Matthew 27, verse 37. "And set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." The Jewish rulers did not approve of what Pilate wrote. But for the first time, this Roman governor did not cave to their demands. In a sense, this placard proved to be the first gospel tract ever written. For it announced to one of the thieves that were crucified with Jesus that he was Savior and King. And he dared to believe the message and asked Jesus to forgive him. And Jesus told him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." His name is Jesus, so named before his birth, at his birth, at his crucifixion, then at his resurrection. We read this in Matthew 28, verse 5 and 6. "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay." Jesus certainly lived up to his name, For he was born a Savior. He died saving a soul. And he rose again, completing the gospel whereby men must be saved. Without Jesus coming forth out of the tomb alive forevermore, salvation would be impossible. Our faith would be in vain. We would have no hope of our resurrection. And we would be of all men most miserable. Yet he is alive. He is a living Savior. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make his intercession for us. And it is his intercession on our behalf whereby we are saved to the uttermost. His name is Jesus. And it is a name that excels all others. And we read this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above all, above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Men back then, as well as today, give him names of slander, names of ridicule, and use it in an unholy manner. But the name of Jesus is an exalted name, a name above all names. It's above any name given to men, given to angels, and it's a name above every name that God is known by. Folks, the day is coming when all will bow down upon hearing his name. And every tongue, whether in earth, in heaven, in hell beneath, will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is best for those who do not know Jesus as Savior to bow before him now. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead and be saved, than having to do that in hell with no chance of salvation. Yes, his name is Jesus. And to those of us who are saved, we have believed in God our Savior and have known his name is the sweetest name that has ever been spoken by these mortal tongue of ours. What a sweet, wonderful name. What a name! And what a Savior. Thank God for Jesus. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.